Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, live from Brooklyn, New York, and all over the East, the United States, and around the world. I am your guest host, Jason Block, and with me this week for a two-hour spectacular of wrestling and post-Royal Rumble analysis is my good friend and wrestling manager, the best Ohio manager that people no one knows about, Nikki Haman.
Good evening, Jason, and you flatter me way too much.
Well, that's what you paid me for. No, I'm sorry.
Who's paying who here?
Yeah, there you go. You want to shoot cowboy? Anyway, we have 2 hours of post-Royal Rumble analysis for you, but if we're going to do that first and around the horn. But before we do that, we want to introduce some people around here. From Washington, our esteemed host was actually going to play around the horn for the first time. It is Mr. Robert Q. Seidelman.
Thank you, and I have a show announcement to make early on. You know how people have been complaining about that theme song that we have?
Yeah.
It's being changed.
All right. Cool. And also...
Long live Richard O'Brien.
There you go.
There's your clue. That's the theme we're changing it to.
Good enough. Also from upstate New York, where the hockey teams are not as good as some of the football teams, VRM. VRM, are you there?
I think he got put in the penalty box.
I think he did. He is on the air, though. I don't know why he's not here. But
oh, I forgot to turn my mic off mute. Fail.
Hold on. There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got one even better. There you go.
I turn my mic off for the theme music so I don't actually talk during it, and I sometimes forget to turn it back on.
That's all right. It's all good. All good. And last but certainly definitely not least, we have Typho.
That's right. It's a good day here in Dallas, Texas, because I'm proud to say that our own Lance Hoyt is going to go take over all Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, no.
Are we all ready to play some Around the Horn, ladies and gentlemen?
I came back for this? Okay.
excuse me. Those with control of the soundboard have their toys to play with. So, here we go.
It's the first word.
Starting off with, he hears voices in his head, and they're telling him he is main eventing WrestleMania 25. The Royal Rumble is over, and as expected and predicted by everyone here, Randy Orton was the last man standing. But the next night on Raw, he gets beat up by Shane McMahon, right after he claimed he had IED, or internal explosive disorder, or the way we called it, internal explosive diarrhea of the mouth. tell me your thoughts on Randy Orton being given the ball at the Royal Rumble, starting off with you, Typho.
Well, I put some thought into it, and I agree with it because going into the Royal Rumble, Randy Orton was probably the hottest thing going, coming off the Raw ending angle. So it only made sense with what was coming, being promoted for Raw, with his fate maybe hanging in the balance, putting something like that into play just made it all that more intriguing. So you had the McMahon situation, you had Orton. I mean, well, the other option was Triple H winning, and does anybody really want to see that? I don't.
Seidelman.
I do. Because I do kind of agree with Randy Orton. If it wasn't Triple H, it was going to be Randy Orton. But when it comes to Randy...
Sorry, wrong button. Sorry, wrong button. Go
Thank
ahead.
You. I'd like to now give my FaceTime now.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. I do agree with Randy Orton winning because, let's face it, if you take a look at the past, almost every single Royal Rumble since, 2003 have been won by faces. I mean, 2003, it was a face Lesnar. 2004, it was a face Benoit. 2005, it was a face Batista. 2006, Rey Mysterio, who had absolutely no business winning that Rumble. 2007, a face Taker. And 2008, face John Cena. So it was a nice change of place to see a heel win. With that said, however, I do agree that he is the hottest thing on Raw, and he deserves, with this run, to get the ball one last time. Because as we know, he's dropped it so many times, he drops more balls than, Phil.
Okay, Seidelman. Nikki, on to you.
It's intriguing to see a heel win the Royal Rumble, and indeed, it, as much as it pains me to say this, Randy Orton is the top heel on Raw right now. Chris Jericho has his own little side thing going that might not even happen, but we'll talk about that later. Randy has finally brought about the ire of the McMahons, and this is going to really push, get him properly festooned into the main event. Even if he doesn't end up main eventing WrestleMania, which is where this storyline could go, Stephanie didn't say what she was going to do to him besides sicking her brother on him, which has no ramifications and isn't taking away his title shot. She has the authority to do that, and that's what's actually got my attention. Randy can take this one all the way to WrestleMania. We can boo him out of the building for real now because of the story and not just because he's a global douche.
VRM.
Yeah, well, going back to the heels winning Rumble, his first heels won the Rumble since 99 when McMahon won it himself after coming in for number two.
Sorry, wrong one again. Damn it. Sorry. That's a nice point. Inside information. Go on.
Yeah, so you got a heel winning. You're finally going to have something interesting. It's like because you get face after face after face going in, and it's all but concluded that the face is going to win the title at some point, even though last year was an exception, of course, because they decided to pull the trigger early. But Randy Orton, as we keep saying, he is the top heel on Raw. Next to Edge, he is the top heel in the company.
Whoa. I'm taking a point away from that one. You really believe that? You really
unless
believe...
You see, unless you see... Oh, I'm sorry. Jericho. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Next to Edge and Jericho, he's the top heel in the company.
That's better. Go ahead.
So, and if you're going to put Jericho... Jericho's going to be in the chamber, undoubtedly, unless the McMahon tries to pull something on him, but you got to give one of the top two heels on Raw something with a title match at WrestleMania, so... There's a toss-up. Jericho went on early, and Orton's got numbers behind him with Legacy, so...
Well, that was interesting. Now we move on to, am I my brother's keeper? Not anymore. The biggest non-Rumble match story was the heel turn of Matt Hardy on his brother, Jeff. After losing his title match to Jack Swagger, he waffled his brother with a chair, causing Edge to retain his WWE title. On SmackDown, he cuts a killer promo basically saying that he is no longer going to clean up after Jeff's mistakes. Two questions for you guys here. Thoughts on the heel turn itself and whether this means that Christian is still coming into the WWE. Starting with you, Mr. Seidelman.
When it comes to Matt Hardy, let's just face it, he is much better off as a solo heel if you look back at his version Why Not days. And yes, even as a heel, he is still awesome in smacking tomatoes and drying up seas. Now that I'm done quoting his theme song, when it comes to cleaning up his messes, okay, I have to admit right now, I did not watch SmackDown Money because it's on right now over here. But aside from that, Christian coming back into WWE, yes, it will happen. However, if you take a look at WWE's financial system right now, Christian would probably want a boatload of money. I think something in like the mid to high six-figure range, like about $500,000 a year. You know, he'd probably want upper mid-card money. They can't afford to pay him upper mid-card money right now. That's why you're seeing all this influx of new people coming in, mainly from FCW, and lower card people that they could build up, which they have done well with Jack Swagger, who deserves that belt.
VRM.
Question, I did not watch SmackDown. Did Matt claim responsibility for the attacks?
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
Then Christian is still coming back. I seriously doubt that Matt would try to actually put his brother in a storyline car accident, so Christian's definitely coming back. This intrigue is building up, and I'm seeing the possibility of a little tag team going between Matt and Christian. It's just a tiny possibility, but this anti-Jeff faction seems to be building up. You got Edge, of course, at the forefront, although he also has to concern himself with trips and about half the SmackDown face roster. But if Christian comes back and they put him heel, then you're going to have probably – I don't think he'll surpass Jericho in heel or Edge for that matter, but he'll definitely surpass Orton on the heel meter if that's the way that's the direction they're going for.
Typo.
Yeah, I think Matt Hardy heel turn was long overdue. He's been face for several years now, ever since his comeback and even before that. And yes, it's going to be refreshing for him. It's going to give him new life because he's been semi-stale for a little while with his face run. But about for him being responsible for Jeff's accidents, he does have a history of wanting people dead in car accidents, so you never know. But I don't think it's him. I think Christian is coming. I think Christian is still behind, will be revealed to be behind the incidents, and him and Matt may form some kind of alliance on SmackDown.
And Nikki.
What's intriguing is that Matt's promo does have a grain of truth in it. When Matt and Lita and Jeff used to travel together, Matt sometimes had trouble getting Jeff out of bed to say, hey, we got to go to work. 5 more minutes. So this might, you know, this is hitting very close to home, and it's going to be very easy for Matt to really vent on this part of the angle. As to Christian coming back, not only are we getting that because Matt has not claimed responsibility for any of the incidents, Edge is not either. Edge dropped a beautiful hint during his promo when he decided to have a 5 second promo, 5 second pose of kissing Vicky in the middle of the ring. This is going to be awesome for Matt, and I'm looking forward to Matt versus Jeff, even if Edge and Christian are also involved.
And let me just hit the right one, which is this one. Okay, at the end of break one, Nikki has 12, Seidelman has 11, Typho has 8, and VRM, you're trailing with 6 at the end of this round. So, are we ready to do some of this?
Buy or sell?
Buying or selling, even in these bad economic times, here on the North American Wrestling Connection, we do some buy or selling. Issue 1, a whole lot of swagger. Jack Swagger had a good outing at the Royal Rumble, defeating Matt Hardy. But we have Finlay as a challenger, and maybe Tommy Dreamer down the road. Buy or sell Jack Swagger holding the belt until WrestleMania. Nikki.
I'm going to buy that. I think that Swagger has really come into his own as a heel. And I think he's going to have a run for his money against Finlay, but Finlay, yes, is probably due for a title run. Hey,
sorry, wrong one. Go ahead.
Leave the announcer out of this.
Right.
Finlay is due for a title run, yes, but let's save that for a little further down the line. Swagger is a very good heel right now. Swagger Finlay, we haven't seen, and Swagger Dreamer, we're not going to see until after WrestleMania. We need to keep a heel with that belt so that Tommy's got something to aim for.
Typho.
Yes, Jack Swagger will keep the belt through WrestleMania and probably pretty far beyond because he's on ECW right now. He's definitely the hottest thing they have going. And I'm a big fan, and I'm from Texas, and I hate Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, but Jack Swagger is awesome no matter where he came from. And as for a heel has to be holding the belt because of this Tommy Dreamer angle that's going to be coming up. And what's next on the list? Mark Henry, they just did it. Paul Burchill. They have no interest in pushing him, obviously. So it's got to be Jack Swagger, and he deserves it, and he's going to carry it well.
A VRM.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this, too. Again, you need the heel champion. I think he's going to hold it to One Night Stand, because I think that's going to be the payoff for the whole Tommy Dreamer angle, because One Night Stand is supposed to be the ECW pay-per-view.
Well, hold on a second. Oh, you said One Night Stand. I'm sorry. I thought you meant No Way Out. My apologies. Go ahead.
One Night Stand. Finley, right now, all Finley is good for is having the kid come in the ring after he wins and dancing around with Hornswoggle. And they haven't really gotten him back into his I love to fight persona. They've tried it a little bit with Mike Knox, but they haven't been able to do it. Finley just needs a title of some kind just to hold over, whether it be U.S. title or a tag title, even though seeing Hornswoggle with a belt again, not really keen on seeing that. But Swagger definitely is the top heel on ECW. I say he's going to keep it until the whole Tommy thing starts up after WrestleMania. So,
okay. The next issue, a smoking surprise. The biggest surprise at the Royal Rumble was the return of Rob Van Dam in the Royal Rumble match.
Hey, I didn't give my response.
Hey, oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
You're yourself.
Sorry.
Shame
okay.
on you, Mr. Block.
Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Seidelman, go ahead. My apologies completely. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm buying this just for the sheer reason that, yes, Finley does deserve a belt, but it's not the ECW belt that he deserves. He deserves, like, the U.S. title, or he deserves send him to Raw and give him the Intercontinental title to at least build up the credibility of those two belts, which those credibilities have been shot since 2006. Having said that, he will carry it on beyond WrestleMania and well beyond that, because honestly, I think Tommy Dreamer is done, and he will even hold it past One Night Stand. No, I'm sorry, it's not One Night Stand anymore. It's WWE Extreme Rules.
And you get an extra point for that for remembering the correct title because it got changed this week. There you go.
Yeah,
now
it's more dopier name than Uncensored.
Now we go into the next issue, and my apologies. The smoking surprise, the biggest surprise at the Rumble was the return of Rob Van Dam in the Royal Rumble match. The pop was huge, but his wife had just finished chemo for her cancer. Colon cancer, and we all wish her well. Sonya, get well. And he plans to film a movie in Europe and in France. Buy or sell an eventual return to the WWE for RVD. And we start with you, Typho.
I'm buying. I have no doubt he's going to be back at some point. And this was just a one-time deal, but the reaction he gets anytime he comes out, it's just enough that at some point in time, Vince McMahon's just going to start throwing money at him, realize that he needs him in some role. Maybe not as a world champion again, but somewhere he's very, very valuable to the company. He's an asset, and they need him. He fills a role very well, and they're missing that right now. RVD needs to be there.
VRM?
I'm going to buy this, but again, it's not going to be until far down the road. Right now, with his wife just coming out of chemo, he's going out to film a movie. He needs to be at home right now, support his wife. Hope she is fine and everything. But still, this is not going to be far down the road. He's still going to get huge reactions with these one night deals. With a huge reaction at the Rumble, a huge reaction at Raw 15 against Santino back in late 07. But right now, he needs to focus on other things. Right now, I don't see him coming back till maybe late this year, early next year at the earliest.
Mr. Seidelman.
When it comes to RVD and knowing what Vince McMahon said is going through right now, trying to keep up with the sanity of his company, and he's got to protect that public image, for right now, I'm going to sell him coming back to the WWE for the foreseeable future because RVD is well known for 420 marijuana and his little incident with Sabu. That said, though, I am selling it for right now. However, I do see him, but way down the line, back when the economy's off of its ass, and while Vince recoups, and while everybody's lax on the use of marijuana, I think, but it's going to be a while, though, but I don't know if RVD wants to come back. I don't think took it off from him enough to, for him to come back. After the way he was treated in 2007.
Excuse me, Ms. Solomon. Nikki, up to you.
I'm going to buy, but I'm putting a great big asterisk on it because the only way Vin Meister is going to go back is on his terms. And that's pretty much how he did it through the WWE when he came through before. Part of the reason that he let his contract expire is the fact that a lot of things were changed between when he actually signed and when he finally parted ways with him in 2007. That includes the marijuana policy, the dress code, and two or three other things that I know he has brought up in his blog. He's more than happy right now doing spot shows, taking care of his wife, and shooting this movie, which he's been he's been working on for a couple of years now. Batista clued me in on the fact that he was working on a movie, and now that he's got the green light, Rob gets to go play action hero. When he does come back, it's going to be a point where he's going to have Vince McMahon begging him and throwing money at him like there's no tomorrow. So, yeah, it's going to depend on the economy, and it's going to depend on the condition of the WWE. I'd love to see Rob back, but Rob's not going to do it on Vince's terms.
Next issue, Phoenix loses the gold. Melina beat Beth Phoenix to regain the WWE Women's Championship belt. And by the way, that move that Phoenix made by having Melina kick herself, best move of the night, the whole night. And now Rosa Mendez is being able to be kept for all the times by Santino. Buy or sell Melina as a long-term women's champion, VRM.
Long term, I'm going to put an asterisk here. With Mickie James around, I'm trying to think of their big. Beth is still around. Rosa Mendez is holding to the blow up into a nice little feud between her and Beth, I think. I'm seeing that a change might be in the foreseeable future, like a WrestleMania Backlash. Not No Way Out, but I really don't see Melina being able to hold on to it for that long. She's going to hold on to it for a little bit, but not really, really long like Beth Phoenix's run.
Mr. Seidelman.
In that case, then, it's a sell. I am selling Melina going for a long-term run. I see her like 1 to 2 months tops because there are so many better people you could put the belt on. Sure, there's Mickie James. She could put it back on Beth Phoenix again. Or what they should do is that we need a female member of the legacy. So what Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase, and Cody Rhodes should do is walk over to SmackDown, get Natalya Neidhart, have them join the legacy on Raw, and bingo, you could potentially have the legacy having 3 of the 4 championships on Raw. You could have Randy Orton with the world title, you could have Priceless with the tag titles, and you could have Natalya Neidhart with the real women's title.
Oh, good stuff, Nikki. Bring him to me. Go ahead.
I'm going to sell this, too, because despite the fact that we had that very amusing spot where Beth Phoenix let Melina kick herself in the head, Melina was kind of off in this match. If they were scoring it on her technical ability, she should not have won. She's pretty much going to be a placeholder for a couple of months. Maybe Beth will get it back from her at WrestleMania or in the Backlash. When the whole triangle blows up with Phoenix and Santino and Mendez, because I think Santino was talking to her on the phone at that Raw a couple of months back. Of course, WWE's not going to remember that part.
We're not supposed to remember that.
I realize that, the 3-month rule. I think the Beth Rosa thing is going to be more intriguing, and I hate to see Melina and Mickey fall by the wayside, but they're pretty much going to be fodder when Beth and Rosa finally do blow up.
And Typho.
Yeah, I'm going to sell Melina being a long-term champion because the women's division on Raw is the Glamazon world and everyone else is just kind of there. Beth Phoenix is going to get the belt back probably pretty soon. She'll have, eventually, of course, Rosa Mendez as a challenger. She can have Mickie James again. Kelly Kelly's there. I suppose Candace is around. So she's got some challengers.
They broke
around
her again.
So she's got some challengers that she could still face. Melina, of course, she'll get her rematch. But I do believe Beth Phoenix will have the women's title back, maybe even in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, finally, he's in.
Or is he? The Mickey Rourke-Chris Jericho match, potentially, has been on and off more times than a roller coaster ride, and it's only been 1 week. We had Mickey Rourke announce the match at the SAG Awards this past Sunday, Jericho promoting it on Raw and Larry King, and dueling press releases from Rourke's agent saying no and Vinnie Mac saying yes. Buy or sell the match actually happening, Mr. Seidelman?
I'm going to sell. If Mickey Rourke's smart, and he is, let's not forget, he's up for an Academy Award, then there's no way Mickey Rourke will tarnish his rebirth of a career just to wrestle Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 25. Reviving your acting career is more important than taking part in the biggest spectacle in sports entertainment history. And let's not kid ourselves. Do we really want to see Mickey Rourke wrestle Chris Jericho, which could potentially kill Chris Jericho's career?
Nikki.
I'm going to buy it, because what's happening right now is I think the publicity for this match happened too soon. The Oscars are happening here in just the next couple of weeks, and let's see if Mickey can win one. If he wins one, great. If not, that's okay, too. Then you get Chris Jericho on the line, because remember, Rourke had his training through Wild Samoa and AFA, which granted he might have only been in there for a few months, and he's going to be amateur at best. Chris Jericho being a consummate professional and probably one of the best guys who can work with just about anybody, wrestler or not, I'll take this match over anybody and David Arquette or any other celebrity they choose to try to drag into WrestleMania.
Typho.
I'm going to buy it. I do believe the match will end up happening. I think the on-off stuff we've had this week is probably some form of work to get us anticipated. And every year now it seems like they've got to have the big celebrity involvement. I mean, Floyd Mayweather last year had his match with a Big Show. Mickey Rourke with the movie, of course, is perfect for this year. So I do believe the match is going to happen. And the theme song from The Wrestler says, have you ever seen a one-trick pony? Well, if you see Mickey Rourke in the ring at WrestleMania, you're going to see one.
And VRM.
I'm going to buy it just for the sake of this is going to be their drawing. This is their attempt to draw the non-wrestling viewers. This is their attempt to draw the rest of the people that are buying it for the spectacle aspect of WrestleMania. This is their, remember back in the 80s, they had in 85 with WrestleMania 1, they had all kinds of spectacle, all kinds of entertainers, all kinds of stuff going on. And granted, this is definitely going to be better than David Arquette doing any kind of thing. At least there won't be a world title at stake here.
Okay. At the end of Buy or Sell, we have Seidelman with 23, Nikki with 22, Typho with 19, and VRM. You made the elimination out of bounds for everyone except this one. You're the low man on the totem pole. What are your last words?
I'm tired. I have no excuse. I'm just tired. I'm out of it.
That's okay. Well, I'm going to mute you for a little bit, and we'll talk to you in a little while. Okay? Here we go. Okay. So we have, as I said, Seidelman with 23, Nikki with 22, Typho with 19, and here we go with...
It's out of bounds.
We actually had two pieces of serious wrestling news this week. Dr. Phil Aston, the personal physician of Chris Jericho, changed his plea and faces 20 years in jail and $1 million of fines when he is sentenced May 12th. In other news, Chris Nowinski's Sports Legacy Institute was the epicenter of a pretty major story on concussions research as the first signs of brain damage were found in an 18-year-old athlete that had suffered severe concussions. This was a huge breakthrough for the SLI's theories that concussions speed depression, dementia, and other brain-related diseases that are usually found in those far older. Whose news will have long-term effects? Dr. Aston's or Nowinski's? We start with Rob Seidelman.
It's going to be Nowinski's because his is more wide-reaching. I mean, we already knew that Phil Aston's ass was going to be put in the slammer anyways. And I think you made a little error in your thing. It's Chris Benoit, not Chris Jericho.
Okay, it is Chris Benoit. My apologies. If I said Chris Jericho, my apologies. That is correct.
I'm sure if the WWE was doing this story, he would have said Chris Jericho.
That is true. Yeah, there you go.
But anyways, back onto the Nowinski thing. This concussion stuff is, believe it or not, it's really, really scary. I mean, we see, because we are so, when it comes to sports, we are football driven. I mean, we could take or leave baseball and basketball. This nation is a football country now. I mean, we have guys banging their heads each other left and right. I would imagine that Ben Roethlisberger, who was admitted to having a concussion a couple of days ago, will probably be playing with one right now. Let's face it, concussions are scary, which, as you said, lead to many, many serious injuries. So I'm not sure if there are any student-athletes who are listening to this broadcast, and they probably aren't because they have lives and I don't. If you are diagnosed with a concussion, kick back, relax, don't do any. Kick back, relax, listen to what the doctors say.
Okay, Nikki.
Definitely what Nowinski's news, because as we said, Aston is done. It's, you know, whether he was in jail or not, he's done. Nowinski's results are far-reaching, because we're talking about sports at all levels. And as somebody who has had a concussion, I'm very intrigued to see where, you know, if this is actually going to spread out. This is going to start getting parents to think about having their kids playing football in high school. This is going to have college athletes thinking, what could happen to me on the field. This is going to have the pro athletes, especially gentlemen like Troy Aikman, who has bragged about the fact that he had, a dozen concussions over the course of his career? And he's still doing okay as a football analyst, if I understood correctly.
That is correct. He works for Fox Sports, yes.
People need to know, because this kind of brain research is something that Nowinski has made his passion. And he's even said in an interview, when he first started researching because of his concussion syndromes, he couldn't even find accurate or, consistent information. What this is going to do is going to do a lot for sports and safety within. I don't know if it's going to help the wrestling industry much, but it's sure going to wake a lot of people up in other, quote-unquote, real sports.
Typho, finish it up.
This is a really hard one for me to pick because I can understand how both sides could probably benefit. I was a high school football player in Texas, where it's very, very competitive, and being one, you know there's doctors out there that will give you pretty much whatever you want if you go in. And so it's good to bring those people down, and having one so high profile like that after the Benoit incident, probably it's going to make them think twice, because if something happens to one of these people, they see what's going to happen to them now. With Nowinski, he's done a lot of great research on concussions and everything like that and what they can do to you long term. But I think Aston's is going to be more important in the long run, because it's going to make these doctors think twice next time before they start doing that, because they see what can happen to them now. Because Phil Aston's ruined and he's going to prison.
Well, first of all, I loved all your arguments on that, because that was just fantastic. However, Seidelman, you're through to the showdown. Nikki, you're through to the showdown. Typho, just not enough this time around. What are your last words until a little later on?
Like I said earlier, Lance Hoyt, All Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right, you are muted out there. Yeah, so you're gone. Okay, we have the best manager in the war in Ohio versus the best host in Seattle for Showdown. Since I don't have any music, we're just going to get right to it. And I'm going to keep to the 15-second rule here pretty much. So, Believe it or not, in question one, we actually had an open casting call this week for a revival of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Do you think this revival will actually work? Seidelman.
No, because it only worked in the 80s because people still had scrambled porn. Nowadays, you can find it on the internet. Nobody really cares about women's wrestling more in the mainstream. They just see it as a glorified peep show.
Nikki?
It has a shot, but they're going to have to work really hard to do it. ROH is doing well with their sister promotion, Shimmer. I just hope they don't want to do it as cheesy as the original Glow was. If they make it as wrestling hardcore as Shimmer, they might have a shot.
Well, you know, look, I like cheese. I remember in the 80s about scrambling porn. However, I'm going to give this one just a little bit of a shot. Nikki, this one, you get the point. Number two, TNA Wrestling today offered Rob Blagojevich the chairman position of the Main Event Mafia. True story. Look at TNAWrestling.com. If you were Rob Blagojevich, what would you be the best at selling at TNA? Nikki?
Selling all the chairs that you're going to be swinging. I want to see him go in there and actually play it La Parca style, as in chair man, bringing in a handful to pass around to the Main Event Mafia and see if they can continue to dominate in TNA.
Seidelman.
I wouldn't be showing my face in public anytime soon if I'm Rob Blagojevich, especially since now I'm being, I'm almost near arrest from the federal government on fraud charges. Just showing your face at a wrestling event, let's just say it's not doing anybody wonders. Hey, look what almost killed off Sarah Palin's career.
Well, there we go. First of all, number one, I agree with the idea of the selling of the chairs. However, I agree with Rob. You should not be showing your face in TNA anytime soon, especially when you're facing a jail sentence. Point to Mr. Seidelman. This one is deciding the game. And finally, Ric Flair was attacked by a man in a bear suit to promote his appearance in the Command & Conquer 3 video games expansion set. In the rematch, who do you give the odds to, the bear or Flair? Seidelman, we start with you.
Well, one of them is a limousine run, jet flying, woo, same again. But yet I give it to the bear. Let's face it, it's a bear. You can knock off his legs, but he still has two more left, and he could just gnaw your face off.
Nikki?
You got to be fair to Flair. Besides, even if the bear's got shorter legs, you can still put lock on a pretty solid figure four. And the bear, if the bear knows who Flair is, he'll lay down for him.
Okay. Wow. You know, the idea is, you know, I did like the Flair impression. And, you know, the idea is that it's fair to Flair. And besides, Seidelman has given me the opportunity to host. Seidelman, you get the win, and you get your 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Bias. I declare bias.
So let me pull everybody back up. Rob, your 30 seconds start now.
TNA just had a 1.2 yesterday in the ratings for TNA. And I believe the main reason of that is they got rid of Mike Tenay and Don West on commentary for a good chunk of the show, bringing in Booker T and Kevin Nash's commentary. Now, one of them was really good on commentary, and that was Chet Lemon and Kevin Nash. Booker T sounded like the Marlboro Man with a mix of Jim Varney. If you have Mike Tenay and Kevin Nash doing commentary, you'll have a much better broadcast. If they slow down the pace, you'll have Mike Tenay, Kevin Nash, you'll have your play-by-play man, you'll have the heel commentator, and trust me, everything is right with the world because we finally got rid of Jimmy T and Don West!
Oh, okay, we got it. Okay, is everybody back in?
Yeah. I'm here.
We're all here. Okay, Nikki, we have 1 hour and 20 minutes. Why don't we go and review in more detail the Royal Rumble itself, shall we?
Yes, please.
Okay. We have, first of all, some pickings to go over, and let's actually... First of all, Nikki, you were there live. Tell us your live impressions of the show itself.
Well, I had decent seats up in the lower level. I didn't want to be on the floor this time.
Okay.
And getting there was hell on wheels. we ended up parking on the roof of the JLA parking garage, which meant it took us 2 hours just to get out of the bloody place. great view, good crowd, and oh, by the way, all the events at JLA were canceled for the week because RVD blew the fucking roof off. So,
yes, he did. So let's go to the first match. Oh, first of all, let's review. We'll go by match, and we'll review the pick-ems. First match
right.
was Matt Hardy versus Jack Swagger for the ECW title. For me, this was a very good match. I thought Jack Swagger held his own with Matt Hardy, and Swagger wins clean with the Oklahoma Powerbomb, I believe. And I thought this was good. I believe everybody got this one right in our pick-ems. Who did see it? What did you guys think of the match?
I found it a little, I personally, you know, maybe it's because I was sitting so far back, but I thought the match was a little flat. Swagger did have a great showing, but Matt was kind of low-key, and maybe that was just the foreshadowing leading into later in the night. Maybe just because I had the knowledge of what was happening later might have affected how I was watching it.
Did anyone else see it besides me?
I didn't listen to it.
Okay. But we all...
I was getting dinner at the time. I was getting Subway.
Okay. Well, again, everyone got that one right, and it was a decent match. Then we had a Randy Orton promo, I believe, basically, basically saying that he's going to win the Rumble. No. It was when he came in and everyone looked at him like, he pooped his pants or something. You know, they all looked at him pretty nastily. Then we had the Beth Phoenix match with Melina. And, yeah, Melina was pretty sloppy in this match. Pretty sloppy. What did you think there, Nick?
I didn't think it was really that bad. Again, you know, not sitting close enough. I didn't see as many mistakes as probably anybody who did watching it at home. Kudos to the kicking yourself in the head spot, because that made a lot of people around me cringe.
Well, we could tell she did dance. I don't know what necessarily type of dancing she's done, but, she's done dance.
Are you talking about the Melina, the back of her foot getting kicked to her head?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, boot to the head.
I think we've seen this before, but in a torture rack format with Amazing Kong and Mischief.
Possibly, but it was
It is. If you take, you also saw it at Bound for Glory 2007.
Well,
do you remember Kong's reverse torture rack or crusher rack?
I think so.
Back of the foot goes to the head.
Well, you know what? That's cool. That's cool.
And also your spine suffers from kyphosis.
Okay. So who got that one right there, Nikki?
Fourth is the only one who got that one right.
Nice. Okay. We also had a promo with Shawn Michaels, and I believe it was John Cena? What was the promo which led to Shawn Michaels and Undertaker saying the line of the night to get to heaven, you might have to go through a little hell or something to that. Well, what was the
No, Michaels was talking. Michaels and JBL were talking about the match coming up. And once JBL took off, Shawn took a few moments thinking about the whole thing. And he turned around, and there's the Undertaker.
Yeah.
To pretty much tell him, you know, sometimes heaven, you know, you have to go through hell.
To get into heaven.
Yeah.
And,
a big old jet airliner. Anyway.
No, but will we ever see a new feud between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels eventually, do you think?
We're running out
no.
of time. I don't think it's going to... Go ahead.
I think we've been teased more times than that than, wardrobe malfunctions on the Super Bowl, but, you know how it is.
At least we got that, though. Go ahead.
Then we have the John Cena JBL match, which honestly speaking was just brutally bad, brutally awful, worst match of the card. Cena can't wrestle a lick, and JBL couldn't do it either. I mean, the only reason that this match was good was Cena super kicking JBL and then super kicking Cena, which got, I believe, a bigger pop.
That's where the match really took off, because unfortunately, Cena and JBL work very well together if you put them in a quote-unquote garbage match. Put them in a street fight. Put them in a no-holds-barred match. Put them in that I quit match.
I quit, last man standing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That you can get a match out of them. But if you're going to ask them to go in there and do some mat wrestling, it ain't going to happen. Sean coming in after the ref bump and super kicking JBL first. Everybody thought, awesome, he's going to turn now. And he turns around and he super kicks Cena, which got an even bigger pop because we had an arena full of haters.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You don't bet against Cena, Jason.
Well, I know. I was the only one who got that one wrong. So,
yes.
Sue me. I believed in my financial investor. Excuse me.
Do you want to shoot Cowboy? I heard ask him about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess the Cowboy shot blank that night.
And then we had the Jeff Hardy Edge match, which by far was the best match of the night. Jeff. Yes.
Rumble was better.
Rumble.
All right, the Rumble was better, but I'm talking individual match.
Oh.
Well, the Rumble was better, but okay, second best match of the night. All
right.
Jeff Hardy, we all know this, he's a sick bastard, okay? He is. I mean, first of all, that crow makeup, good grief, okay?
Tis awesome.
Second of all, how many people saw the kick off the ladder? That was a sick spot. No, that was not a botch.
That was not a botch.
No, way, no, it wasn't, because there's no way you can jump off that ladder without it falling over. Usually there's a ref, there's a ref or somebody leaning on the ladder to keep it in place.
He kicked it out of the way on purpose. I watched that. That was done on purpose.
And just as a side note, I had some very near and dear friends in the front row who claimed that they were almost hit by that ladder. And by flying parts of the table when they were undoing one of them. So,
mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Becker,
and
Jeff Hardy is sorry.
and also, well, of course, we had the Matt heel turn, and Edge wins the title yet again. So where do you see this going eventually? Because I see this something very interesting. I think Christian's going to come back as a face, not a heel.
Okay. Well, that's standard to the returning face rule. And
then try this on for size, because I just thought about this, because you brought this up earlier in Around the Horn. Can you imagine the Hardys and Edge and Christian, but sort of a new mix to it? Edge and Hardy versus Matt and Christian?
No, you got it wrong. It's Edge and Matt versus Jeff and Christian.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Am I not speaking right tonight? I don't know what it is. That's right. I've been smoking a joint with Van Damme or something.
Have another beer.
What's with all this one night stand 2005 references this night?
Because I was watching.
Guilty.
Guilty. Yeah.
Guilty.
Well, yeah. She started it.
On
anyway.
Tuesday, I had
when
the honor.
When is Sandman going to come down with a beer and pour it across Electra's boobs?
Yeah,
who's
exactly.
Who's volunteering for that?
There you go.
By the way, I'm going to have some more sound effects put up soon.
Good, cool. But
I'm switching to my phone because my headset's starting to act all weird.
Oh, wait, we have a new caller. I am sorry. Who do we have here?
It's not a new caller. I switched to my phone because my headset's being weird.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see it. Okay. Let me just mute that. Okay.
The One Night Stand references come from the fact that I had the opportunity to meet JBL on Tuesday. And that is, I essentially plunked down in front of him, "You want to shoot, Cowboy?" Much to the delight of Denny Davis.
How did JBL take that?
He picked up the ring bell hammer. And then he asked me, what was I doing while Paulie was spouting all of this? And I said, something about bouncing the rubber checks. I'd forgotten about the heart attack. I felt bad because I went all the way through it. You know, the only reason you were a champion for so long was that Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays.
Oh, jeez.
And, oh, by the way, both of these pictures, you want to shoot cowboy and an honest recruiting picture are on the front page of DickieHeyman.com.
Yeah, and the story about the you want to shoot cowboy picture is classic. That's great. Nikki asked, actually JBL asked Nikki, how do you want me to pose? And Nikki said, and I quote,
handle it just like you would with Paulie. I'm going to stand here and yell at you, and you just look and you ignore me and don't give a shit.
So again, the heel turn happened. Edge wins the belt. Who got what right?
That'll go to fourth in VRM.
Okay. Now, then we had the Royal Rumble match itself, which, by the way, I agree with you guys. It was a fantastic Rumble match. It was really good. You want to know why? Because it was booked well. It was paced well. There wasn't any really monster eliminations here, you know?
And it was paced so well. We, you know, when the show came out, we're like, that's it? You know?
Yeah.
We were still waiting for the big monster cleaning of the ring. They didn't do a lot of their signature spots. Everybody goes through this one big guy out. Somebody got their ass kicked backstage. Let's have somebody come out.
No Charlie Haas, which was really the worst.
That disappointed me.
Disappointed,
yeah.
Because no one got it right on that.
Charlie something. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't even come to the ring.
Yeah, that was just like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, but who would Charlie Haas imitate for the Rumble?
Well, let's see. We had Flair, Paulie, Undertaker, and The Rock as our options. He could have come out as the Warlord.
Yeah. Oh, and yes, and speaking of which, Santino Marella as the 1 second thing, brilliant stuff. That's great. That was brilliant.
He was never in the ring.
That's what we were yelling from our seats because we couldn't tell if his feet hit the mat or not.
Oh, his feet did hit the mat, yes. But, it was great stuff. And again, to have Legacy versus Triple H, nice way to end it. We all had Orton getting it right. No one, I believe, had number 30, correct?
Nobody.
But who did get the most out of that Royal Rumble match?
DRM and Forrest both picked Orton to win and had Orton and Triple H in their final four.
Okay.
You and I both had Orton in. But when that totals up.
Let's go it from worst to first.
All right.
Well, I know who worst is. Me.
Yes. You did a wonderful job at a spectacular three.
Yeah. Excuse me.
That's what you get for picking JBL.
Excuse me. This is what I'm giving to myself. There you go.
You heard that quite a bit on Price too today.
Yes, was it El Stink, El Skunko?
Oh, double overbid.
Oh, yes. Okay. Next.
And the next one would be me. Because I just really screwed this one up. But I blame Jeff Hardy. Thank you, Matt. But then we go up to VRM, who had six.
Not bad.
Which leads us to our winner and the new North American Wrestling Connection Fizzleweight Champion, Forrest.
Who is not here tonight to take his belt, but when he comes.
So I will allow me to hold
it
for
in 6 minutes. He'll be on in 6 minutes.
Oh,
all right.
All right. Well, he'll be on in 6 minutes. So while we're talking about 6 minutes, which is the 3-minute warning twice, Let's just go to Raw for a minute. We had some very interesting things happen. We had Kofi Kingston, of all people, qualified by beating Kane in the World Rumble qualifying match. In the Elimination Chamber match. God, what is up with me tonight? I'm sober. Have another beer. I wish. You know, it's
you
like
guys should have returned to hosting tonight.
Whoa! Okay, you keep talking that way. I'm the one with the sound effects. And I'm the one with the microphone, and you will listen to every word I say. Nice wedding singer reference. Anyway, so in the elimination qualifiers, we had Chris Jericho beating CM Punk. We had Kofi Kingston beating Kane. Was that it, or was there one more? I think there was one
Mysterio.
More. Yes, Mysterio beat William Regal. Very good match.
And JBL was going to get in, but John Cena put a stop to that.
John Cena put a stop to that because he beat Shawn Michaels because he interfered in his own match, which is really doing the angle quite well. Of course, Randy Orton did something which was really, 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 really stupid. Not that he is not known for doing stupid things.
This time it's a storyline.
No, this is because we're all talking about IED, which is actually a legit medical disorder. Intermittent explosive disorder is, and I checked this out on WebMD, except for one little thing. One of the stimulants to this, guess what it is, people?
Steroids.
Yes. Thank you. So there is WWE creative with their heads in their asses.
When hasn't WWE been created in their asses?
No.
I'm waiting for their third party testing group to just march out there and cancel the storyline and send Randy Orton home because he's been fired.
He's on strike two.
So if he fails the test, he's in the same thing with Jeff Hardy. He's in the same boat, for real.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So I want, Dr. Black, if you're actually listening, can you do me a favor next Monday night and make them fire Randy Orton?
hold on. That would be too sweet. However, it ain't going to happen.
I realize that. All through Orton's segments, I did have a sign up that ECW is now hiring. I figured if we put him on the shorter show, we'll only have to see him 5 or 10 minutes a week.
Yeah.
I tried, guys.
But again, I thought the intermittent explosive diarrhea just sounds a lot funnier than intermittent explosive disorder. I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid. It's dumb. You know, I mean, and also, there are legit people who have rage issues, and he is not one to talk. Do you think?
Just because he really does have these issues, and that if the stories are indeed true, that's what cost him a title win at WrestleMania 22, whether
right.
Rey Mysterio deserved it or not.
I'm just really, 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 really dumbfounded that they actually had the balls to put that on the air. I'm not. It's WWE, but, you know, they've been on a roll lately. This is just really, really dumb. I'm just trying to think of anything.
Our good friends at WrestleCraft.com just put up their Gooker Award winner for the year.
Oh, what's that?
Adam Lee.
Not a surprise. Not a surprise.
Well, the top two was Adam Lee and Million Dollar Mania.
Adam Lee should have won in a walk. I mean, seriously.
Easily. Million Dollar Mania was stupid, but Adam Lee just set a new standard for fail.
In several roles.
Yeah. Not only did he do it once, but he did it three different ways.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you heard this every time he came out.
And definitely you wanted to hear this. Whoops, sorry.
Whoa!
Yeah, in fact, gotta have that in
what
there.
What about when we sit head on the January 2nd edition when we pulled the lever?
Oh, sorry. There we go. Had to do that.
Okay, so let me get this straightened up because I think I showed all of you that I have one Room 101 video up.
Yes.
Yes.
I got to work on the second one.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. But we'll get to Room 101, we'll get to Room 101 later. Did I miss any? And also, now, we all, you know, at the end of the show, Shane McMahon basically kicked the crap out of Randy Orton. Now, doesn't that really kind of neuter the guy you just strapped the rocket to?
If that didn't neuter him, I think the other neutering was the fact that the entire roster didn't come down there and help Shane.
That was confused there. It's like you have all these guys on the stage. It's 3-on-1 in the ring. Shane's just getting something done on Orton, but not really much. And you have all the guys just standing there. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you even out there? You're just going to stand there.
Do something, even if it's wrong. Get down there and help. Although,
Jamie Noble just wanted some FaceTime.
Thanks for coming, Jamie. But notice, there are two people that were missing from that group that was out there.
Which are?
Snuka and Manu. I did not see them in that crowd.
I think they're on the release train.
No, I hope not.
No.
I believe there's going to be a second generation war coming on. Trust me
on
that.
And Shane would be a great mouthpiece for Snuka and Manu if they don't like the way they talk.
Exactly. So, really, really bad stuff. Bad stuff. But overall, it was a decent show up until those last 15 minutes. And, of course, the explosive diarrhea. Now, ECW basically, now, okay.
Does anybody want to send me $25 so I can go see No Way Out?
I'm sorry?
Because they're doing, I looked through Ticketmaster for No Way Out tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing that they did for Armageddon because they're having trouble filling out the place again.
Okay, hold on a second. It's 11 o'clock. Okay. So, you were saying?
It turns out that the arena is a hard place to fill out, especially in Seattle since we haven't had a wrestling show in ages.
Right.
A big-time wrestling show. Because we haven't had a pay-per-view since WrestleMania 19.
Okay. Well, that was at the Safeco Field, which got filled out.
Oh, yeah. That got, well, especially since it was 2003. You had some big matches there. You had Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Jericho versus
Triple H, I believe.
Shawn Michaels.
No, Jericho Michaels.
Right.
Hogan and Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said big matches.
Booker T versus Triple H.
Right. But I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
What
tickets start as low as $25. I'm thinking to myself, $6 for bus fare, $25. $31 total. Might be worth a go.
There you go. Basically, Jack Swagger came. First of all, Teddy Long says, I've granted Matt Hardy's release to go to SmackDown. Huh? That was a little confusing. Don't you think?
No, it's not. Not really. I'm going to say no, because you've got a heel who is causing a ruckus, and you have a face general manager going, oh, crap. Now, real world view of this is you've got a problem child on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Caller number. Hold on. Come on.
Go.
There we go. Number 5. Who are you? Is this 4th?
Yep.
By the way, congratulations, Nikki. He has something for you.
Mr. 4th, congratulations on your new Fizzleweight Championship at Decimating Us at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I don't know about decimating, but...
Given the fact that you more than doubled up our last place person, and I'm not doing this to get near to Jason.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Oh, by the way, is the pay-per-view this weekend for TNA
no.
or next?
No, nobody's gonna go up against the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. This is Super Bowl. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, duh.
Even TNA isn't that dumb.
They're close.
They're trying.
They're trying.
But what I was gonna say is that Teddy Long realized that he was gonna have a media circus with somebody like Matt Hardy pulling what he did at the Rumble. You know what? I'm going to get him out of here before he causes any more trouble. See you later, Matt.
Okay.
Holla.
Even got out of the no-compete clause.
Yes, he did. So then Jack Swagger was supposed to have the celebration, but his belt got stolen.
That's where I had a problem. Where in the world did he put it down to get it stolen? Because that...
Go ahead. God.
Just because the video, the promo of him losing his belt played not too long after he had just walked to the back with the stupid thing on his shoulder. You know, how stoned do you have to be to lose it that quickly? And Rob, where the hell were you?
Is it just me or does Jack Swagger kind of remind you of Biff from Back to the Future? I mean, take a look at him. Okay, you know what? That gets a win. He looks exactly like him.
He's a mix of Biff and Gary Busey.
and you get that one too because that's funny. I will pull your endocrine system out of your body. Oh, good grief! That was just...
Lordy.
Oh, good grief! So then we had. We had the Boogeyman versus Ricky Ortiz, huh?
Sort of.
Is right. I'm not even going to try to defend that.
No, and then you had Paul Burchill versus Finlay. Finlay wins. And then Burchill supposedly did a pretty good job. Who knows? Burchill may find a home on ECW after all.
No, this is try number five. You've got to get it right sometime.
Well, I want the pirate back. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Me too.
And then you had Tommy Dreamer versus Mark Henry. Then, of course, Hornswoggle was the person who took the belt, and it leads to a potential Finley Swagger match down the road and maybe even at No Way Out.
Potentially No Way Out, which unfortunately, you know, this I agree, like I said in Around the Horn, Finley does deserve a title somewhere down the line. But if they had found any way on God's green earth to sign Rob, this would have been the perfect place for him to just show up, look at the belt, so what the hell did you do to it?
This one doesn't spin.
And just, you know, the crowd, there were RVD chants all over the building. I wasn't helping. I had my whole effing show poster up. And, you know, like I said, if that had happened, the roof would have come off the Wolsey Center and landed on Gund. Which reminds me, a little note that I got from this show. First of all, a big thank you to one of the security guards who clued me in on the fact that the E was quite happy with the way the Wolfstein Center filled out. They might be going back to that and not going to the Gund. Because apparently they called Wolfstein during Unforgiven, which was so poorly attended, and booked their Raw at this new location. But to that, I'm going to send a big fuck you to the security guard who refused me the front row seat that I had a legitimate ticket for just because the guy decided to leave and I couldn't go over and take that seat for a bonus match watching Chris Jericho and John Cena beat the crap out of each other when there's 10 minutes left in the fucking show. Hey!
No. I was buzzing the security guard, not you.
Oh, okay.
I
walked up to him with the ticket. And he says, "That's not your ticket." I said, "I know. It was given to me by a man who just left. Give me the seat." And he's like, "If you go over there, I will throw you out." I said, "Then you better be ready to throw out whoever's going to climb over the chair to take it anyway. At least I have the ticket to sit there." And he would not let me through. By the time I would have gotten one of the Jimmy Squad over there to straighten him out, the match would have been over. So I went over on the other side and took pictures. But, you know, fuck you, security guard. If you're there at the next show, I'm going to introduce you to the Jimmy Squad, and then they're going to talk to you about me. Sorry, off topic.
Okay, so,
We talk about Impact.
Go ahead, guys. I missed it last night.
Okay. So what happens is that hold on a second. I'm going to be away from the soundboard for a little bit. So just give me a little while. So what happens is that you saw Impact, correct? Bob?
I saw some of it.
Seidelman, you saw it though, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
So give us your report on it.
Well, we start off with the main event mafia package, you know, saying that they helped build wrestling as it is, and to some extent that is true. I mean, 75 years worth of experience in Sting, Booker T, Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, and Scotty Steiner. So when the video package is done, we see Kurt Angle in Jarrett's office, and he's got a director's headset out. And guess who took over the broadcast? That's right. Your friendly neighborhood main event mafia has taken over the broadcast.
So basically Vince Russo tried to do a new...
WO
2.0.
Well, and it worked.
You think it worked?
Here's why. Because we got rid of Tanae and West, and we had two of the greatest names in wrestling history. Booker T as Black Snow, and Kevin Nash as Chet Lemon.
What are the odds about Don West just pulled in a rating of 3?
And then, as your backstage interviewer was Charmel, who surprisingly wasn't annoying as all hell that night.
Uh-huh.
And as your ring announcer, Scotty Steiner.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no. Oh, it was great. White Trash and Rednecks! This is a 4-on-1. This is a 4-on-1 handicap match, which means 4 bitches on 1.
Oh, God.
I don't know any of these bitches. I haven't slept with any of them.
My favorite part was when
okay,
he said...
Okay, Jason, you want to figure out how to announce like that?
Oh, me? No.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, number one, I have professional ethics. Okay. Unlike Scott Steiner, who basically, you know... I'm sorry,
I'm surprised you got professional ethics out with a straight face.
No, shut up. Hey, excuse me. You're a Haman. Professional ethics don't go together, okay?
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. He had trouble saying the names of Sojourner Bolt and Rocket Khan or Isha Saeed. Even though he's the one who brought in Rocket Khan.
So
he says, forget it.
Well, you know how we have the 3-month rule in WWE? We have the 1-week rule in TNA.
No, six-month rule. This was like a 9-month rule. Because I remember Scotty Steiner was away for quite a while.
So basically, I also heard at the end of the show, Samoa Joe has a new face tattoo for Wheel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good old Joe MAGA.
No.
Sadly, that's right.
Is it?
Also, we got some other great stuff for you. Booker, here's the match listing. ODB versus, as Scott Steiner put it, Awesome Kong and her three bitches. Booker T versus Victims.
Okay.
Andrew Thomas and Rudy Charles. The Blueprint, Matt Morgan versus Make Believe Muscle, Petey Williams.
But Make Believe Muscle, he was the one who was involved with him.
Listen to this. He then spouted off a great promo to Barack Obama. Instead of building that border to keep the Mexicans out, you need to build a barrier around Canada to keep those Canadians from coming in.
Okay.
Mexico North.
I'd rather have Canadians.
Yeah, I'd rather have Canadians, too. At least they speak English.
You see, this thing needed Tonto just so we could hear from his redneck truck being accompanied to the ring by mob bags. Ned!
And then we have Team 3D and Sting.
I thought 3D wasn't in the main event, Mafia.
Sting is.
It was Angle's way of balancing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, after that, the front line had enough, so Abyss and Mick Foley and LAX came out and just beat the living crap out of everybody.
Okay.
And they took back the show, and sadly, Mike Tenay and Don West were back at a job.
And the world cried.
Yes. As I said in my FaceTime, it should be Chet Lemon and Mike Tenay.
Yeah.
What about Scott Steiner? He did a little play-by-play while Booker had to go do his match.
And he actually talked normally.
Yeah.
I think Charmel did as well.
Who would have thunk it? Now we go to SmackDown.
We're not finished yet.
Oh, we're not? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We had Scott Steiner versus Abyss in a weapons match. Abyss can use weapons, but Scott Steiner can't. So Abyss beat Scott Steiner via disqualification because Steiner saw appropriate to whack Abyss upside the head with a metal pole.
Ow. Not cool.
And then we have LAX versus Kurt Angle. Is it just me or has LAX been made Kurt Angle's bitch lately? Because Kurt Angle wins. Clean.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And Hernandez has another title shot.
If they remember to give it to him.
So, Hernandez has another world title shot, and who isn't... Oh, God. Who has the X title now?
Shelly, right.
Yeah.
And Homicide has the X Division title shot. He has that briefcase.
Mm.
That reminds me, did we throw Feast of Fire into Room 101 yet?
I don't believe so, but if you would like to get into that.
Yeah, we can get into that. Again, like I said,
we did.
Okay. Well, again, I am away from the sound effects, so... If you can pull them up, you can go for it. So is that all for TNA? Was it a good episode? You thought it was.
It was. I mean, come on. You had Kevin Nash and Booker T on commentary. Yeah, Scott Steiner doing ring announcing, and we no longer have to hear Jeremy Borash. I should see he was out selling T-shirts.
and shots.
Shots for $8.50, t-shirts for $35, and people were buying them. Hey, I wouldn't mind spending $8.50 for a picture of Sting.
So,
but those Main Event Mafia shirts? $20, and we'll think about it.
Did you hear Kevin Nash's, or I mean Chet Lemon's plug for a TNA Mobile?
Yes! And I'll take you back with new photos of myself.
Oh, my God.
Nikki, put down your phone and stop texting the TNA number to get Kevin Nash's nudes.
First of all, number one, even though those phone screens are so small, I don't know if Kevin Nash would fit.
Well, I know one piece of equipment would fit in that small screen.
Yes, got
that. Oh! Oh! No, 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 no.
Scott Steiner, yeah.
I know Scott Steiner has one with all the steroids he took.
Neither does Hogan, but we won't get into that.
Linda Hogan does.
Anyway.
That 19-year-old she's banging.
Yeah, whatever. Can I get into SmackDown now?
Sure.
Thank you. SmackDown opens with Matt Hardy coming out to no music, okay, and comes out and really cuts a really killer promo on how he doesn't want to take care of the screw-up Matt Hardy anymore. He doesn't want to take over, he wants to be on his own. He doesn't have a party boys, and they did this, and I was hearing music in the background. I was like, what the hell music is this? And they cut it to a really good sense of video promos, correct?
This beautiful combination, which it put me off at first, but it worked. Just this really, really faint music. At first I thought they were playing the cage-lowering music, but they were cutting back to pictures up and down the Hardys' career. Everything from them bouncing around on a trampoline.
In their underpants, pretty much.
Running into each other backstage, as recent as like a month ago, and everything in between.
No, that's mine, and I'll take it later. So what happens is that it was great. It was really well done, and and then he basically says, I'm no longer, my brother, and then they cut away. Really good stuff. Really, really good. And it even though I don't like the angle, the promo worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Did it work for you?
I loved it, but like I said, I thought it was, I find it mildly shootastic. I've been wanting to see Matt versus Jeff, the first time they did it, when Matt first turned heel to go into his V1 persona, it was okay. Now we've got a whole lot of other crap that's gone down in the last 5 or 6 years that's really going to make this mean something. I'm still looking forward to it.
So we had qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber. We had Undertaker defeating Mark Henry. We had
Jason Block breaking up horribly.
Oh, am I better now? Sorry.
A little bit, yeah.
Sorry. We had Undertaker defeating Mark Henry. We had The Big Show defeating Festus in a really intriguing match. Because it was good. It was excellent.
Yeah.
First of all, Festus does a tornado DDT off the top rope. And Big Show sells it. I'm like, how could his body be with that big do that? It was insane.
I don't know, but I'll take it.
Yeah. And then you had, in the main event, Triple H beating Kozlov and Khali to qualify. So I am guessing that you have Big Show, Triple H, and of course we have spoilers for next week, so this may be a little spoilerific for those. You have Big Show, Triple H, Undertaker, Edge, and I believe Jeff Hardy is one. And who is the sixth one? Anyone read the spoilers?
I did not.
I don't think...
I didn't read them. I was going to say, my guess would be Kozlov. But...
Could be. Yeah, it could be Kozlov. But
it is Kozlov.
Another shot.
Yes.
It
and
Kozlov.
It is Kozlov. Edge comes out and cuts a beautiful promo before the big show defeated Festus. About, and then doing this new 5-second pose thing, which was a beautiful tease. Oh, my God. I was waiting for Christian to come out, but no, didn't happen.
You're not gonna do it on a random SmackDown. They're gonna save it for just the right moment, whatever that will be.
Exactly. And then
what music is gonna use?
And then you also had Michelle McCool getting bitch slapped by Eve Torres.
Made my night.
She did it, yeah.
You had Jimmy Wang Yang being manipulated by Umaga in his return bout.
Some people call it zucchini. I called it squash.
Yes. I believe that was basically. Oh, and then MVP defeated. Oh, who did he defeat?
Chavo.
And he started to be the old cocky athlete again. And an MVP Shelton Benjamin feud, I'm for that.
Yep.
I'm for that.
Would be a nice watch.
That's gonna hurt. Listen.
What the heck was that?
I have no idea.
I didn't press that button.
Mm-hmm. I'm not near the buttons anyway. So,
sorry, I clicked on a video and it was some independent wrestling thing.
Okay. So we are here, and we've got about a half hour left, I believe.
Right.
So let's get into a little bit of Room 101, shall we?
Yes, look.
I am going to defer to the manager first, just because I think her entry is the most interesting one, or at least it's the only one I've heard so far. But it's interesting. Take it away.
Well, what I'm putting in is indirectly wrestling related. Now, how many of you guys have been to any kind of autograph session, whether it was a wrestler, an author, an athlete, you know, any of that?
I've been to many, so yes, go on.
Okay.
I've been to many.
Well, there are some people who can do it right, but there's a lot of people who do them wrong. And these wrong types of autograph sessions I have nicknamed the cattle drive. You get there, you are in line forever. When you get up there, say you're 2 or 3 people away, a steward comes up and says, "What are you having signed?" They take it from you and bring it up to the table. You're lucky to get a hello to whomever you were catching up, you were there to see. You get your stuff back and you're out the door. This is very impersonal. This is very unprofessional. And for people who have been in line better than 2 hours, you better watch out, because these people are going to be serious, because this is what they came for. And I'll speak specifically of one that I took, that I went to up in Long Island before one of the one-night stands. Rob Van Dam and one of the Divas, I forget which, was there to do an autograph session in a mall. I don't know the area.
Shaniqua?
Well.
Massapequa.
No, Massapequa is where I was going.
Thank you.
First of all, they didn't advertise that it was going to cost us. So for autographs and pictures, it would have cost us $80. I was willing to put down $20 to get an autograph from Rob, even though I can usually get them for free. We were in line for 2.5 hours. When they do show up, as I'm getting closer, I have a picture from WrestleMania 22 that I wanted him to personalize, because it's him and most of the other participants in the ring, and you can see the briefcase, and he's looking up at it. Nobody else is, and I wanted him to put, "Dude, that's mine."
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I got closer, they took the pictures from me. And I got a chance to walk up there and say, "Hey, Rob, sorry I missed you in Dayton." And he tried to explain himself, and they shooed me out the door. These kind of autograph sessions do not please anyone, including the wrestlers, because they don't get a chance to interact. We need to get rid of these type of autograph sessions.
Okay, Rob, what do you think?
I've never been to an interview segment. I have never been to a wrestling show. I honestly think that it is impersonal with Wasted. However, sometimes it gets to a point where they like all the people, but sometimes they just want to get out and go, so they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would honestly say no.
Okay. VRM.
I think I might have been in line for one of these cattle drives I think it was like summer of 06, right before a July show. They had Mick Foley, I think, in Western New Jersey. I don't remember exactly what happened because I left early because they were delayed, because Mick was delayed for like... Oh, no, it wasn't Mick that was going in. It was somebody else. Mick was in another store when I'm talking about. Yeah, this sounds like it's a whole load of BS. I mean, you're going there. You're not going there just to have some wrestler sign a little piece of paper. You're going there to actually see and shake hands with whoever. Not just it's wrestling. That was a decent autograph signing. With Phil Simms. I went to one with the Giants where Mark Bavaro back in like early 90 whatever. We saw Mark Bavaro and we got immediately shoot out. But yeah, way to alienate the fans, stewards. Yeah, this goes.
Typho?
Almost every autograph signing I've been to has been good. The one that I could think of that was like that was in, I think, probably 2006. It was with Mark Henry and Torrey Wilson. And they were basically just like Nikki said, they were just taking the pictures, just kind of lining them up for them. You're through the line and out. I just remember the whole time, Mark Henry just kind of looked like he was just like perplexed as to why everyone was just being shooed away so quickly. So, yeah, these autograph signings like that, I mean, they accomplish nothing for anybody. So, yeah, throw it in.
And fourth.
Yeah, I agree. The autograph session is a little bit about interacting with a wrestler. And to be honest, these cattle drives don't really sound too exciting. So I'm going to say put it in.
Well, you know what? I mean, I've been to autograph sessions, and I mean, a couple of them, and they've really been... you know, for the most part, pretty good. But again, I don't think necessarily it's the wrestler's fault. I think it's the people who organize it. We basically have most of the people saying yes. And I, you know what, when people wait on the line for a long time, you want to at least just say hello and what's going on. So what I am going to do is be nice about this and basically put this in room 101. Just like this. I don't know what this... Oh. A quick question, Rob.
That was great, Sam.
There's a hand with an arrow going up on one of the things. What does that mean?
That means nothing.
That means nothing.
Yeah, I've had that on my show. It just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
okay.
That's nothing.
And I'm going to switch back to my headset because my battery is getting very hot.
Okay. So, now, Mr. Seidelman, you're next.
I'm going to put in something from 2002.
Okay.
Now, I know what you might be thinking. You're thinking, is he going to put in something from WWE? No. I got to put something in from early TNA. No. I'm putting in a wrestling pay-per-view called WWA... Revolution.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Was this the craptacular from Vegas?
Yes.
Was this the not appearing show?
That's right.
Except there was one...
God, this was awesome.
Okay.
You explain it, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to do it. But go ahead.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Go ahead.
Go. First, let me just how about the commentators to start off with? Jeremy Borash and Mark Madden. I mean, it was hard to listen to the WCW commentary in 2000 with Shivani Hudson and Madden. And guess who was a big part of that? Mark Madden. You throw in Jeremy Borash, who, let's face it, his best role was getting beat up by Tank Abbott. Yeah. The announcing sucked. It also didn't help. You had Disco Inferno come out there a little bit later on, only to get punked out by Scott Steiner, who, bear in mind, didn't wrestle. He just beat up a couple of midgets in Disco Inferno. First match was pretty good. You had AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Sharkboy. Who am I missing?
Oh, I know who you're talking
about.
What?
I was gonna say it's been so long. I couldn't answer that.
I have this on tape.
Loki.
Yeah, Loki and a couple of others. There's a six-way dance, which was unbelievably good.
Yeah, it was a great match. And we fall apart from there. Reno versus Alan Funk.
The Funkster.
The Funkster.
Brother.
Who we all remember as Quee Wee from WCW. Another one of those characters that might be gay, but aren't.
There's anything wrong with that.
Oh, I mean, I know quite a few people like that. And to be honest, they're quite awesome. Tony, I need to meet up with you. Anyways, I'll explain that later. Then we get a wonderful piece of diatribe from Larry Zbysko. Follow that up with a blah tag match between Native Blood and Chronic.
Squash.
It was bad. And then we break out the midgets. Tio and Puppet. And they proceed to get beat up by Scott Steiner.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, the main event was supposed to be Macho Man Randy Savage versus Jeff Jarrett.
Yep.
It turns out to be Jeff Jarrett versus Ryan Christopher.
Oh. I could have sworn Nathan Jones was at this show.
No, he was not.
Okay.
And so you want to throw that one in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really bad interview. I mean, and believe it or not, this was before TNA.
Yes. Understandably so.
February 2002?
Yeah, TNA was like 2003, I think.
June 2002.
All right. I don't remember if it was before TNA or not, but I actually saw the pay-per-view. And I got to tell you this, I agree with you with everything. The production value was horrible. It felt like it was from, you know, the ECW bingo hall in a bad, you know, really, you know, the bad terms and all that sort of stuff. However, that one match with the six-way dance was a match of the year candidate, an absolute match of the year candidate. A pay-per-view cannot have a match of the year candidate and be thrown into room 101. Sorry. I'm not going to do it. If you guys want to do it and outvote me, I'm there. But I can't do it.
I'm apparently thinking of a different WWA show. Because they did it. There was another one that they did that had guys like Johnny Swinger and Buff Bagwell and Sting and Luger worked it. And Nathan Jones faced Jeff Jarrett. And I remember seeing Nathan Jones pick Jarrett up on one side of the ring, swing around, and slam him on the opposite side of the ring. Unfortunately, I'm going to abstain because I did not see this show. But I agree with Jason in principle that if you've got a match of the year candidate on a pay-per-view now, but have we not set a precedent because Hardy's and Eminem had the spectacular match at December to Disaster, but I think we ended up stuffing that in there.
Yeah, we stuffed it in there.
So I'm just saying we have a precedent, Jason. I'm not trying to overrule you.
Okay. Okay. Typho.
I did see this pay-per-view live. My friends and I, we were pretty excited because we wanted to see Randy Savage return to the ring. But this show is still, to this day, however many years later now, it's still a running joke with us because, you see, on the pregame show, they spent the whole 30-minute pregame show running over and over again this video package of Randy Savage the entire time, flashing at the bottom of the screen, said, "not appearing." For 30 straight minutes. We still laugh about that. And it was great. And then, you got that great match to open the show, so it looks like, hey, maybe we're on the right track. You roll along. You got Chronic and Native Blood there. You got Midgets. You got Scott Steiner with his drop foot and Jeremy Borash. And then Brian Christopher main events the show. I mean, was Eric Watts busy or something? You got Brian Christopher. Yes, this pay-per-view is going in. I don't care what match you have. Brian Christopher main evented your show. You're in. You're in the room.
Fourth.
I can't really comment too much about it either way because, to be honest, this is the first time I've heard about this particular pay-per-view, so I can't say anything about it.
Well, and I think, I think I'm outvoted 2-1, which means that take that back. Here is the card. I am still throwing it in. I missed a few matches, but these were bad. Even
by the way, we have a new caller. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I told you I was switching and you never put me back on.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, my apologies.
How about this for your random tag match of the year? Rick Steiner and Ernest Miller.
Oh, I forgot about this match.
Versus Lane and Lodi.
Oh, man.
That's by the way, VRM, did you hear
what's going in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening for. I've been listening since I dropped my phone and got it back on my headset. I've never heard of the pay per view before until now.
Okay. So, but anyway, what's going in? Hold on. There we go. Okay.
I had to throw in a reunion with Sabu and Bill Alfonso, but the pay per view sucked.
Yeah, that did. VRM, since I screwed you over on the headphones thing, you're next.
Hmm.
Or do you want me to come back to you?
I have one, but I'm not entirely certain if it'll get thrown in, despite how much everybody hates him. I would like to throw in... You gotta be kidding me!
They're probably going to throw in Don West.
I am putting Don West on the podium.
No contest.
Okay. There is. First of all, Don West is not in there.
Don West has not been mentioned.
Well, excuse me. Excuse me. Hold on.
Before you drop, I want to say why. I turned on TNA, and when I heard that Main Event Mafia was taking over the show, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be a train wreck. But then I heard Kevin Nash on color commentary, and I have to say, wow. It was like I was watching an entire different program, even though the booking still sucked and it was easily recognizable once the first match hit. But just hearing Kevin Nash doing the color commentary, it was like a breath of fresh air, honestly. And then they put Don West back on an hour later, and suddenly I remembered I was watching TNA. Because the commentary level went from like a 7 all the way back down to 1. Put Kevin Nash on the broadcast booth. He's going to be out for that staff infection for a while. Get West out of there. Put Nash back in the booth, please. Dear God.
Okay. Who did I miss? Fourth or Typho? Fourth, right? You there?
Yeah.
Go Nash.
Well, mine is more like a blanket kind of deal. I'd like to throw in penis-themed wrestlers in general because I really...
what did you say?
That's right. Like, huge erection, Dick and Rod Johnson.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh,
Dick.
Okay. Basically, the
Chad and James Dick.
Exactly. The whole thing just creeps me out. And I don't even know if... I mean, it's more so than I think the intent is. It just makes me want to change it sometimes.
Well, you want to know something? As you all know, I do love a dirty joke once in a while.
Of course. You hang out with Gordon Pepper. And he's
well,
the master of dirty jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, GameshowNewsNet.com for all your game show needs and information.
Whoops.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Sorry. Sorry about my cell phone. Okay. But the deal is that, you know, I liked, because you're never going to get that anymore. You're never going to get the Big Dick Johnsons. You're never going to get, you know, the Dudley, all those huge erection. You're not going to get that anymore. And I'm sorry. I love a dick joke. I'm sorry. I'm not putting that in.
Wait,
I'm not either.
Did West get dropped?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
West got dropped. Big time.
Oh, West is long gone.
Okay, I didn't hear it.
Sorry, hold on. Wait, okay, this is for you one more time. Okay, he's gone. Not the dick jokes, but go ahead, Simon.
Hey, this is good news. Then we have our full TNA commentary team, Michael Cole and Don West.
Yes.
I'm putting a bigger lock on that damn door.
Yes.
Not this way.
Not exactly.
I put that on the video, by the way.
Thank you. That was the only thing that was missing, just the look on his face.
Yeah.
I
knew once I saw that picture I had to go for it, but no, I'm not going to induct penis-themed wrestlers. You know, Ron Dick Johnson, Huge Erection, you know, penis names, quite. And to be honest with you, they really screwed over Chad and James Dick. Or Tank Toland and that other Toland. Because they were a good tag team in the Blonde Bombers, and they had Jillian as not an annoying manager. And by the way, there's a pic floating around the internet with her with the Toland's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Easy, boy. Easy.
No, Jason, once you see this picture, you would do that too. No, this was before that she had the humongoid boob job.
Mm-hmm. So Nikki, do you have a problem with dick name wrestlers?
I don't, because that's just the mentality that you're going to get from these guys. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, first of all, I think half of the dick jokes are actually suggestions from the wrestlers themselves. Somebody comes up with it, cracks up the entire locker room, they go to creative. It's, you know, it's just part of the mindset of the wrestlers. WWE's not going to do it anymore because of their PG theming right now. So you're not going to see as much of it as you used to. And, you know, it's just another in a stack of generic jokes that wrestling likes to use. Dick jokes, gay jokes, transvestite jokes, midget jokes, you know, take your pick. You're not going to be able to get it out of there. I say
I'm
don't
like
throw
Triple
it
Triple H promo.
Exactly.
I was thinking about the uncensored, the uncensored presidential style speech. We'll refrain from all of the penis references.
Yes.
Ah, shit, watch your fucking mouth. Oh, fuck me.
Jesus Christ.
Damn it.
VRM.
I just put Don West in.
Oh, no. What do you think?
Oh, this. Right. I don't see a problem. It's just like one of those nuances that you just, it has to be there. It's, I don't see this. It can get a little old, but like, it's like, another penis reference. But I don't see it as Room 101 worthy.
I don't either because, look, 12-year-olds like dick jokes, okay? They do. We all did at one point. 12-year-old boys did anyway. The fact is that it just, it is, as you said, it is a new one. So, fourth, we send this back with a case of Viagra, Cialis, and Xtend.
Don't forget the Enzyte.
The Enzyte, yes, exactly.
Mylon Bob's coming to your house.
Yes.
Are there any Mama Juana at least?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And a case of Mama Juana energy drink. So, so I am actually going to try, and I don't know if this induction is it, because we've got about 8 minutes left, and let's try and end this one with something fun. Nikki, you just mentioned it, actually. It is the W, and I don't know if this was thrown in yet. The WWE PG-ification of its entire pay-per-views, television shows, things of that nature.
Boom, dead.
Okay. Throwing in the One Night Stand DVD of 2005, it looks like a bygone era where you saw fingers flying. You saw language that was salty. You saw tits, you know, having beer poured on it. I guess it's ECW. But even so, I like the fact that the wrestling was adult. I really did. So, and I do not like the PG-ification of WWE. Yes, it's going to bring in more fans with the John Cena and the family stuff. But for me, I'm 40. I'm going to be 41 years old in 2 weeks. I'm a salty guy. I want a more adult programming, and this isn't it.
I'm with you there, Jason, because you've got to look at Vince McMahon's track record. Last time he tried to PG-ify his product was what, 1995?
I think so. Not exactly 100% sure.
I have to go further back than that.
Probably 93, okay. Two.
Two.
92 and 93? Okay. We got any guesses on what kind of ratings numbers they were? They were probably a quarter of what he was getting with the themes he was pulling in 97 and 98.
And 99?
No, they were quite right where they were.
Was what happened in 92, 93 the same kind of numbers he was pulling in 97, 98, 99?
Well, not 98, 99, no, but 97, yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying that the Attitude Era drew in a lot more fans than the cartoony, PG-ified, look, we're for the whole family kind of thing. Go ahead.
Which is why ECW succeeded the way it did.
Right. And WCW still managed to pull their own audience for a little while, but they had more success with the NWO, which was more adult themed, and then they started paring back, and then the roof caved in. So yeah, throw it in there because the demographic that they should still be aiming at is 18 to 34 because. Yeah, there's a lot of little kids that like wrestling, but they nor their parents, especially right now, have the money to go buy John Cena and Jeff Hardy shit.
Typho?
All right. The PG thing, I think I understand why they're doing it. I get it. But the thing is, during the Attitude Era, when the Attitude Era was starting, I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. I was in middle school. I'd been a wrestling fan pretty much my whole life, so I was there. But I saw pretty much every single one of my classmates, 12, 13, 14 years old, start watching wrestling because it was not seen as like a kiddie show anymore. If kids that age, they don't want to be talked down to like that and dumbed down. They want to see a more adult-oriented show. It's more appealing to them. It's going to bring them in more and probably for a longer period of time.
Fourth.
Yeah, I can understand where they're going with it, but particularly because it gives us the current incarnation of Doink and of Finley, I really don't like it that much because they usually go to one extreme before they end up going to the middle and then going to that other extreme. So I'd say they have to find that center, and if it means putting the more family-friendly version in, so be it.
Spider-Man.
Her believer!
do you have an explanation why, seriously?
No.
Okay, fine. Gone. Okay, we have about 3 minutes left before I actually hand the keys back over to Mr. Steinman, who will be back next week hosting the show, unless you want me to host one more time, or am I handing the keys back to you?
You're handing the keys back to me.
Nikki, I want the keys. Nikki.
I have no idea what you're saying. What keys?
I want the key to this. I like hosting this stuff.
I realize that.
Oh, well.
I left them in my other pants.
Oh, okay. Darn. Seriously, though, I want to thank Mr. Seidelman for allowing me to and Nikki to host these last 3 weeks. Very gracious of you and allowing me to just do my own thing and take care of your show for the last 3 weeks. Thank you very, 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 very much.
Just consider this as practice for after WrestleMania because I don't think I'm going to win that bet.
Well, you know what? I don't mind that. But seriously, we got 2 minutes left. Nikki, do you have anything to promote?
Let's see. Next week is going to be a banner week for this full manager. February 5th, I will be working at Pro Training Wrestling under Jimmy. Supposedly some big news for my boy Russ Jones after he bailed on me. Well, bad weather. And February 7th, UWA, check their rumor board and connect the dots, and you'll see where I'm going to land that night.
All right. Anybody else? Also, by the way, just for myself, blockpartypodcast.com for those who listen. GameshowNewsNet.com for my column, as well as WLTI, which is the best game show and reality show commentary show out there. Bob, anything on your end?
Well, of course, we could also have a second Room 101 video put up next week, depending on...
Oh, and you also said you wanted to announce something.
Yes, we have new theme music.
Oh, that's right, that's right. You did new theme music next week. Remember also next week we will continue the road to the Elimination Chamber matches. We will also have TNA, and we will also have TNA pick'ems for, I believe it's called Against All Odds, this coming next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and a very quick prediction. Steelers or Cardinals? Type of.
Steelers. Yeah, Steelers win it.
Nikki?
Steelers.
Rob?
Bad Super Bowl commercials. Oh, Steelers.
There you go. I will also make it unanimous. I will make it unanimous and also make it the Steelers.
What about VRM?
Oh, yes, VRM. Yes.
I'm, for the sake of my show and my polls, for the sake of that show, I'm going Cardinals because I don't want Edgehead to win. But I know the Steelers are going to win anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But for the purpose of my show, and Typho, now your pick is in for this week, even though you cannot win at all.
Okay, so for the North American Wrestling Connection, for Robert Seilman, who will be hosting next week, Nikki Hayman.
Thank God.
VRM. For Typho, for myself, I am Jason Block. Again, we thank you all. We will see you next week. BlogTalkRadio.com. We are out. Good night.
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 Night, folks.
See ya.
Night.